Go ahead and take your Bibles, and if you're able to stand, in the honor of reading God's Word. Turn to Genesis chapter 24. Chapter 24, I've entitled this, The Great Wonder. The Great Wonder. I'm only going to read one verse. This is the longest chapter of the book of Genesis. I'm only going to read one verse again, as I said. I'm going to read verse 21. Genesis 24, and verse 21. And it says, And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Let's pray. Father, we ask as we will get into this chapter, that Father, that you are such a wonder of how you work things out. I pray, Lord, that you anoint this this portion of Scripture to our understanding, and at the end, let us be comforted in its truths and glory in the God that makes things work together. We thank you again in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I entitled this The Great Wonder. What does wonder mean to you today? Well, verse 20 says, verse 21 says, and the man wondering at her. He is talking about Rebecca and what was going on. But this word wonder or wondering, it gives you a number of ideas. It means to be amazed, astonished, remarkable, profound admiration, supernatural, miraculous, surprising occurrence, extraordinary, unexpected, inexplicable, astonishment mixed with admiration, and perplexed or curious means to be profound or something hard to even describe. That's a wonder. Has our God become less of a wonder to us as we have grown in our understanding of the person of Jesus Christ? You know, if a person is to really grow in Jesus Christ, he will become such a greater wonder to us. And when we get to the point in Scripture to become acquainted with Abram, I mean, when we got to this point in the book of Genesis, I believe it was, I think about the middle of chapter 11, and from chapter 1 to the middle of chapter 11, you're going to find that Scripture about creation, we think that's marvelous, but there was a lot of doom and gloom and cursings and all the other stuff that comes along with it. But in the middle of chapter 11, something changes. And this is when Abram comes on the scene. And when he comes on the scene, the whole nature of Scripture changes from all the doom and the gloom and the cursings to hope, to light, away from darkness. And, and going into the 13th chapter on Abraham, we see the Scripture took all this turn. And now we're in chapter 24. And this is one of the most absolutely remarkable chapters, not only in the book of Genesis, but one of the most remarkable chapters in all of Scripture. And because so much is in this chapter, it is a wonder. It is remarkable. And I just have not got over it. Doing the study and putting this thing together, I have not got over it yet. I'm just excited about even reading this thing. So in this chapter 24, you're not only going to see a tremendous story of God's grace and God's sovereignty, but you are going to see a beautiful love story. You're going to see how the Holy Spirit hangs over every detail of this chapter. And I noticed that I could preach three different sermons just from this chapter alone. Three completely different sermons. And you would understand it. But it is full, this chapter is full of pictures, is full of types and metaphors, is full of hyperbole, imagery. It's full of beauty. And now allow me to be able to put in your mind some types right now. You're going to see some individuals in this chapter. You're going to see Abraham. You're going to see Isaac. You're going to see the unnamed servant. And you're going to see Rebecca. Now, as far as types go, when it comes to Abraham, I want you to think of our Heavenly Father, God the Father. When you see Isaac, you'll see him as God's son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The unnamed servant, you're going to see him as the Holy Spirit. And Rebecca, you're going to see Rebecca as the church. Just kind of keep those things in mind as we go through this marvelous story. And what's so amazing about it, this is 2,000 years before Jesus comes on the scene. And the spotlight, again, is going to be on Abraham's unnamed servant. And we say, well, that was Eliezer. Well, we don't know that for sure. He's an unnamed servant. And so we can see the gospel message in this chapter because there is so much going on. I'm going to have to read through the chapter and then kind of break it down and make sense of what's going on. And I will do my best to not confuse myself or you and try to keep it in line. Isaac is about 40 years old at this point. Abraham is about 140 years old. Now, the one thing about Abraham was he was looking so forward not only to his son, Isaac, but he was looking forward to heirs, inheritance. And in this time of about the history of the world, particularly in this area, heirs and inheritance was such a very important thing to them in thinking. But even more to Abraham, because through the line of Abraham, we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Abrahamic covenants, the Abrahamic covenant and whatnot that goes through that because we are adopted into this family through spiritual adoption, we are brought into the promises of Abraham, which are to come. Rebecca, her name means ensnaringly beautiful. That's what her name means, ensnaringly beautiful. And so she is seen as a very young, beautiful woman. Isaac, you remember, had been to Mount Moriah, and he was seen as an obedient son unto sacrifice to his father. So you start looking at these things, and already you start seeing the types and the metaphors and the pictures of what's happening. All I can say is this is quite a family. It is quite a family. But I want to get right into this. Number one, we're going to look at to trust in His wonder. To trust in His wonder. Look in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. When you see well stricken in age, that is 80 years old and over. Okay? And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Now, what is Abraham is doing? He's telling his eldest servant, I'm going to have you make an oath. And at that time, you would put his hand under his thigh or under his loins, because this was kind of the center of life. It was a very important idea. And as he's an old man, he had seen and experienced so much, and it's time for his son to have a bride. And so Abraham, again, as I said, needs heirs and to work out God's will and plan for the ages. And his eldest servant, now again, it's assumed that it's Eliezer of Damascus, but it is not known for certain. So he is unnamed, and again, a picture of the Holy Spirit. And a putting of the hand in the Middle Eastern custom was a big deal. And to make a solemn oath and not to be broken. And so it goes on with the instructions. Look in verse 3. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Now, what is going on here? He says, I want you to swear and to not take a bride from the Canaanite women. And the reason is, it's not a racial thing. It's a thing of the spirit. What he saw of the Canaanite women were worldly. They were pagans. And it just scared the daylights out of Abraham. And he says, boy, I don't want a woman like that for my son. So what I want you to do is I want you to go back to where I came from, to my family, and I want you to get a woman from there. And he says, do not get a woman from Canaan, but go there. And there will be a woman there waiting for you, and pretty much. And he goes on to say, he says, but what if she doesn't want to come? Why don't I just bring your son? He goes, Nope, you're going to go without Isaac. And you're going to go to my family in Ur, in the area of Padanaram, the area of Mesopotamia, in this area, and I want you to find him this woman. And, you know, I don't want him unequally yoked, is what he's saying. I don't want him unequally yoked. I want a believer for him. And, we as many times you find a young man or a young woman who, you know, they fall in love with someone who's not a Christian. And you think it'll all work out. You know, say, I can win them. Well, how often have you really seen that happen? Not many. Okay, it's like there was a traveler. His name was Morton, and he was this traveler, and he would write stuff about where he went, and he print books about it. And he was in the Middle East, and he saw a farmer plowing his field, and in the yoke of this plow, on one side he had a donkey, on the other side he had a camel. Well, a camel is not like a donkey. A camel is more like a human being. They got their own way of doing things. They're proud. They're haughty. They don't like to be told what to do, where to go. And they just got a bad attitude. And when they get that bad attitude, they'll spit at you. You know? I'm not saying that you spit at anybody, but I tell you, ever seen anybody get hot under the collar and start talking? Yeah, the spit starts flowing, doesn't it? And, you know, people are kind of like this. And so it didn't work out at all. If anything, it made a lot more work for him. But see, this is the idea of to be unequally yoked, because it can be a problem. All right? So, because it's the idea, which world are you going to live in? Now, So Abraham tells his servants, no, I want you to go back to Ur. And Abraham may have known of Rebekah because in chapter, well, actually in chapter 22, look in verse 20. Chapter 22 and verse 20 says, and it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Kesed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. Okay, so it appears that Abraham knows of Rebekah, okay? Doesn't know what kind of individual she is or whatnot, but she knows that there's someone there, and this is whom he wants for his son. And so the servant asks, what if this woman doesn't follow? And he says, well, verse 6, let's read it again. He says, and Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not thy son. Look in verse 5. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And then Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. And so he says, I want you to go to a place he doesn't really know, to find a woman, a certain woman he's never seen, for a certain family in a certain area, for a certain person, so they will wed, all sight unseen. So here comes this guy, and he's got to get this all together, and he says, I want you to go and take care of this. Now, it seems like an impossible task, and it is. It's an impossible task. And it gives the idea that, humanly speaking, this isn't going to work out. But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Have we not been wooed by the Holy Spirit to come to Jesus Christ, someone we have never seen, to fall in love with him and to become his bride? Yes. That's how it works. Now, look in verse 7 and 8. There's more instructions that go on. And he goes on to say, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. So he says, now I want you to go there, and I want you to find a woman you've never seen in a place you've never been, and find this family, get everything taken care of, and bring her home. And that will be the bride of my son, Isaac. But if she does not come, you're clear of it, just come on home. Don't worry about it. Take care of it. Now, it kind of sounds like more of, it's not going to work out. But you know, he says, the angel is going to go before him. Listen, it's got, just as God took care of me, he's going to take care of you. Now, let me tell you something, believer. My brother, my sister, I want you to think about something. God has done some marvelous things in your life. Some of you are older Christians. And how often do we look back and maybe if something before us is something that we're not sure is going to work out, is this thing going to work out? Well, think back about what God has done for you before. And the things that the tasks or whatever God wants you to do through obedience, it seems like, man, you look at the checkbook, it's not going to work out. But he says, trust me. Trust him. Did I not take care of you before? I'll take care of you again. All right? That's why we have a memory. Remember. Remember these things. And he says, listen, he'll take care of you. And don't worry. If it doesn't work out, just come on home. But you're not taking my son with you. Okay. Well, so what he's doing, he's taking the pressure off this guy. And let me say something to you. High pressure Christianity is ridiculous. It is a burden. It's a pain. And God never, never meant for it to be a burden. He tells this man, he says, what if he doesn't come? Listen, if it doesn't work out, it's not because of you. It means that God has failed, not you. So what he's saying is, it's all on God. God has sent his angel. He's going to go before you. And if it doesn't work out, you come home. I mean, that takes the pressure off, right? Huh? But Abraham knows it's going to work out just fine. Why? Because he says, it worked out for me. It's going to work out for you. All right? That's kind of nice, isn't it? It's going to work out nice. It's going to work out. And so, you know, I wonder, you ever think about the angels? You know, and they're around the Father's throne, and Jesus Christ has risen back to the Father, and the angels are talking to the Son, and he says, so how is this going to work, Lord? You didn't get the 12 most sharpest knives in the drawer here, you know. And you're going to trust them to go out and evangelize the world and spread the gospel everywhere. And what's your backup plan? I don't have one. This is the plan. And it's not up to those 12 men. It's up to God. All right? In spite of all the dumb things these guys have done, God blessed in marvelous ways. And here we are today, 2,000 years later, in a church talking about all this stuff. All right? We have a Bible. And in verse 8, let's look at this. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. He says, okay, I'll take care of this. And so he puts his hand under his loins and says, I promise I will take care of everything we're going to do, and I'm going. All right. So we see we have to trust in his wonders. You trusted before, you can continue trusting him now. Look at the second thing, glory of his wonders, the glory of his wonders. Look in verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. Now, he has one verse for this long trek. Now, he has 10 camels. He has all the supplies. He has a man to deal with each camel and a man to deal with the supplies and take care of everything. So he has his own caravan. All right. Now he's all set up and he goes, and because he's just going to do it by himself and with his people, he doesn't need the world to help him along, and he's going to have safety within himself. And you know, the camels at this time were kind of a rare commodity. You didn't see a lot of them at this time, especially in this area. I didn't realize that. But now what? Look in verse 11. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Now, what they do is much of the work is done after the sun is starting to go down, because this place is hot. Ever been in this area? It is a hot place. Okay, And so all the women are from the households are coming out to the well. And now here is the unnamed servant. He has his camels. They're kneeled down and he's just kind of standing around waiting. And here come all these women out to take care of this stuff. And so we'll go on. See what else we got here. And he said, now watch this. He's asking the Lord, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. Stop reading. I don't want you to get ahead of me. All right. Now, he says, now he's asking the Lord. He says, now, Lord, the Lord God of my master Abraham, what I want you to do, I'm going to walk up to a woman. Let it be the woman that I need. The very woman to ask for water. She'll give me water and then water the camels. Now, that sounds like a crazy. That's crazy talk, okay? But look what happens. Look what happens to this stuff. This stuff is so cool. Look in verse 15. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. Before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And said, let me, I pray, And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Now, we don't think much of this. Thing is, we know the end of the story. We already know the end, that this is going to become Isaac's wife. But here's this guy, he doesn't know anything. Okay, he's at this well. I know I'm in the right area. And I'm going to, the woman that I go up, Lord, and I'm going to ask that she's going to say, sure. And so she's carrying it on her shoulder. Now, in this area, women would carry a pitcher on their shoulder or on their hip. Africans carry it on their head, okay, their pitchers. And so he comes up, can you give me some water? Oh, sure. And she goes right to it and gives him water. And he says, I tell you what. He says, Lord, my Lord. He says, sir, and I will water the camels. Now, let me tell you something. Watering camels is not like feeding, watering your dog or your cat. And it's not like turning the spigot on to water even cows. Do you know that a camel can drink at one point 25 to 40 gallons at a shot? And now you have 10 of them. This woman is working. I mean, she is not a lazy individual. I mean, she's probably thinking, why did I even say anything? No, it says she hasted to it. In other words, she went swiftly to it. And, you know, God is answering his prayer in the midst of his prayer. Before he was done, there she was. You know, that kind of happens. It happened in Daniel chapter 9, verse 21. Daniel was praying to God, and all of a sudden, bam, there was Gabriel before he was even done. I got to tell you this week. I have to tell you this, because when I was studying this, I went, God is amazing. Now, what he's doing, he's not, oh, Lord, you can send. No, it's within his heart. He's kind of talking to himself and talking to the Lord. He goes, oh, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but Lord, could you just send a woman? There's one. Well, let me ask her. And it happened. I was standing out in the front. I was watering the lawn, and I kind of looked over at those holly bushes and those stupid trees that are coming up, those little saplings that come up, you know. I mean, those bad boys are hard to pull up. And I said, I really don't want to do that, you know. I said, Lord, if you could just... And then some guy come up behind me. Oh, excuse me. I mean, he scared the life out of him. I said, don't you ever sneak up on a brother like that. Don't do that. He goes, man, I'm sorry. Do you have any work for me? I said, I brought my own tools. I says, are you kidding me? I says, I do. He says, well, I'm trying to buy a bus ticket. And I said, I got something for you to do. And he took care of it. And he got his money. And I'm thinking like, well, that was a coincidence, wasn't it? There's no such thing as a coincidence. God takes care of these things. Amen. And so now you see what's going on. This is starting to get kind of exciting, isn't it? Things are working out for this guy. And he didn't even have to water those camels, you know. She didn't dawdle. She volunteered. And it gives the idea that when she was taking care of these camels, that it was swift. And yet, it was kind of, when she did it, she had an ease about her. I mean, she just went about taking care of it. And it was like she got she just flowed. And he is standing there probably going, oh my soul, what is going on? And it says, and the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his church. He's still not sure, prospered or not. Is this the right one? Now, this is what it means. Now, I know I'm not trying to be silly or anything, but it means that he was just stunned, that he was so astonished at how this working that he became giddy. In other words, it means this. He was doing this. He was going around in circles. I can't believe it. Are you kidding me? It was so simple. This is what he's doing. He was excited. What do you do when you get excited? You kind of, oh, yeah. That's what you do? Are you kidding me? When I get excited, I got to say something. When I was in the middle of this, I had to get up and went, glory, isn't God good? And I was excited with him. This is 4,000 years ago. You know that, right? Rebecca is a neat woman. Not only is she stunningly beautiful, but yet, you know, there's an old saying, is beauty goes skin deep. It's only skin deep, right? You know what that means? This woman, you know, we spend so much time on the outside. How much time is spent on the inside? In other words, this was a woman of character. She was a neat woman. She was polite to him, calls him Lord or Sir. Sir, is there? And I'll water your camels. And she goes about it. And she doesn't, you don't see her murmuring, complaining, why don't I have help or anything? She just goes about and takes care of it. You know where that comes from? Let me ask you, Mom and Dad, help your children to have some character. Grandma and Grandpa, you help your children and your grandchildren to have some character, for pity's sake. Not to just sit there and watch somebody struggle at someone and they stand there with their hands in their pocket watching people struggle. Right? Lend a hand. Help somebody. Somebody falls down, walk over, help them pick you up. Don't say, can you help me? You should be right there. Like that, right? If someone's struggling with something, struggling with a hose, and you're just watching them, I don't care if you know them or not, help them. Lend a hand. That's what she did. So not only was she stunningly beautiful, she had some character to her. This is what I'm saying. I mean, this is quite a woman, right? This is the kind of woman you'd like to have for your son. Would you like to have a gentleman for your daughter like this? Brother Peyton, you're praying for him right now, aren't you? Oh, yeah. And you better come to Dad, too. Oh, Dad. Come here, buddy. See that girl? She's mine. Before I give her to you, I don't want to end up killing you. All right? But listen, God is a wonder, and He just is. And so now it's time to take care of business. Now, look at verse 22. Let's move on. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? He's not sure yet. And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said, moreover, unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. So not only did he get the right woman, she's saying, why don't you just come to the house and we'll take care of the camels and we'll sleep you and feed you and do all that stuff, okay? And so we'll take care of it. Now the earring, this earring is worth between $300 and $600. The bracelets are between $3,000 and $6,000. And you kind of sit here and think about it, that's a lot of money in any age, you know. And so this is a lot of gold in anyone's time. And when he says, whose daughter art thou? He finds out this is the right, this right woman. And so what does he do? Look in verse 26. He says, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I'm going to tell you, here was a guy that was so excited. And finally he finds out it's the right woman and the right family and the right place. And he bows down, he says, oh God, thank you. You have done everything for me so far because you are the marvelous God of my master. And then look at the woman. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. I mean, she was flat excited. Can you see the excitement going on? She just, okay, she is off and she is coming to, listen, The unnamed servant from our uncle Abraham is here, and he's come to see us, and he's going to stay with us tonight. All right? She is just excited about what's going on, and he is worshiping and glorifying God, and boy, is there not a story to tell. Man, it's just beginning. So far, so good. Half of the story is over. So we can trust in His wonders and we can glory in His wonders. But oh, the story of His wonders. This is where it gets fun to be a Christian, a story of His wonders. Now we're going to see meeting the family. Now look at this in verse 29. And Rebekah had a brother and his name was Laban. Laban. We know of Laban, right? Chapter 29 is coming along. Jacob is going to have a time with Laban. He's going to be the dad of Leah and Rachel. Okay? You know what Laban means? Whited. Whited. Yeah, the first thing that came to your mind is bright. You know, whited. What comes to your mind, Ray, when I say whited? Huh? You ever think of sepulcher? Whited sepulcher? Yeah. Good, nice on the outside, dead on the inside? Yeah. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban, and Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, look at this, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah's sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. No, he didn't. Rebekah did. Rebekah took care of that. She already fed those bad boys, you know. And so we see him now meeting the family. So Laban says he's going to take care of the unnamed servant. And then he goes on with the story. Now look at this. And the man came into the house. So here comes an unnamed servant, walks in the house and starts telling the story. And the man came into the house and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. So Laban did some things. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this oath when thou comest to my kindred. If they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear of my oath. And it came, and I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin come forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels, let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. So he gets down and he tells this marvelous story. and how it all worked out, how God had answered his prayer, how God had taken him there and answered his prayer before he was done, and that's why he was there. Now he says, tell me, can she go with me to be my master's son's wife? If not, tell me. No pressure. See, you know, it's like when we witness. We don't put the pressure on people. That's not our job. We just present the story. And what do? Nothing. That's it. That's all we do. We don't put, are you going to make a decision right now? Oh, all you have to do is pray a prayer. No, it's more than that. You got to repent. You got to change your mind about if you're going to trust in Jesus Christ or you're going to trust on being good or bad. It's not like that. Jesus Christ took care of it. God took care of this man, the unnamed servant. He's a picture of the Holy Spirit, how he comes to men and he deals with us and he gives us a choice. He presents it to us, normally using people, sometimes not using people at all. But he presents it to people and say, what's your choice? Do you want to trust in me or are you going to continue trusting in yourself? He says, just tell me, I'll be on my way. This is why when God deals with your heart, I don't care if you're saved or you're not saved, God deals with your heart. Don't say, I'll wait till tomorrow. Because he has not promised any of us tomorrow. It's going to come. He didn't say you're going to see it. And you know, you might see tomorrow. And the next day, and the next year, and the year after that. But the sad part about this, and you better take this for what it is, and he's saying, you tell me, say yes or no. Either way, if you say no, I'll be on my way. The Spirit of God will not always strive with man. He'll move on. He has a plan. You can be a part of it or just say no. Now, so you saw the story of his wonders. You see the trust in his wonders. You see the glory of his wonders. You see the story of his wonders. Now comes the answer of his wonders. Now look in verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. And let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. It's up to them. Say, okay, you can. You can. You just can't help but worship and glorify God with this story. You know, the entire thing just seems so simple. Let me tell you something. The labors in Christ can be so simple when God is in it. There's still labors. There's still things to do. But when you allow God to go before you and set the stage and you just follow along what he wants you to do, he takes care of it. Then why is it we're having so much trouble in our own Christianity? Because you don't trust him. You just say, well, I'm going to go there. Just, Lord, just bless my going and I'm going to do this. Just bless me. What if he, come on. That's not how this works. We are in such a stinking hurry. Slow down and smell the roses. Being the Spirit of God and the things that we do will be a sweet smelling savor because it will be done in the power of God. And you think, it should be harder than this. Are you kidding me? We should be the ones on our face saying glory to God. Again, we have not because we ask not. Listen, let that sink in. It's true, it happened here, didn't it? He wasn't even done praying. It happened. And what did he do? He got giddy. And then what did he do? He bowed down and worshiped God. Whew, that's fun. Now I can do this. But I want you to be careful of interrupting God's will. Look in verse 53 now. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver. Now the word jewels there gives the idea of vessels, okay? I don't know what they were made of, some special thing. And so he says, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebecca. He gave also to her brother and to her mother's precious things. And they did eat and drink, and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. Now, those few days, he's saying, let him stay a year, or at least 10 months. Something changed. Why do you think they changed their mind? Could it be because of the things that they gave him? Oh, maybe we can get more stuff out of this. We know what Laban is like. We're going to see him in chapter 29. He's a bum. Anyway, we'll go on. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, what? I will go. Hey, let's go. You know, the problem is, how many people will step in and hinder the work of God in other people's lives? Oh, no, wait, right here. Wait, listen, we can wait a little bit. It's not time to wait. It is time to do what God wants you to do. This is why when God says, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, when God deals with your heart, deal with Him then. If God deals with you about something of some God's calling, then you deal with it then. Don't wait until a month or a year, or whatever. Deal with Him then. Because He's saying, hinder me not, then let me go. You know what He's saying? If you hinder me, then I'm leaving. I'm going back to the master and telling him. And they go, whoa, whoa, whoa. So to keep their pride up, he says, well, let's ask Rebecca. And she says, oh, let's go, let's go. Well, let's take off. Let's go do this thing. And, and this is something that, you know, why isn't our wonder so spectacular and exciting? And so Rebecca is the answer. Look in this, verse 59 and 60. And they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men, and they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. In other words, he says, I want you to go, and we just so want God to bless you. And so the scripture gives all of this an idea that there's a lot of excitement going on in this whole thing. Now this is probably over the period of weeks, you know, of leaving. Can you imagine the unnamed servant? I mean, just as the man, he is like, wow, all this stuff is just incredible. Just as my master said. And then in verse 61, here's the trip back. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Not her way, his way. See, it comes back. Listen, let's just follow him. He goes before us, let's just follow him. He knows the way, right? And can you imagine the trip back? Well, Sir, what's he like? What is Isaac like? Is he nice? Is he tall, dark, and handsome? Is he a kind man? Is he a slothful man? Is he this? Is he that? You can imagine that this woman, Rebecca, has all kinds of questions. And you know something? By the time she gets back there, she's in love with him. And she has never met him. How many of you have met Jesus Christ face to face? None of us. But I pray that your adoration and your love for him grows for someone you've never seen. You see the parallels now? And so here is the Holy Spirit bringing Rebecca to the Son. As the Spirit of God is going to be taken out of this world, Christian, and we are going to be presented to the Son as the Bride of Christ. You get it? It's all right there. The whole gospel is there. From the beginning to the rapture, everything is right there. And yet, it is just a beautiful love story. You say, well, all this stuff is kind of coincidence. It's a miracle. Are you kidding me? This is why God is so amazing. He makes sure that everything is so perfect. And Isaac. Now, look at Isaac. He's the son. Now, he is longing for his bride and the answer. Look in verse 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahai Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. Now, this place, Lahai Roi, is a place where prayers are answered. This is a place where Ishmael and Hagar were at when they called out to God and God answered her. Well, this is where he's at now. Well, why don't you go someplace where prayers are answered? And Isaac went out to meditate in the field. In other words, to pray and to muse kind of pensively and reflect. He was kind of melancholy in thought of his future plans. And so Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off. She was excited. She jumped off that camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? She knew. And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Now, normally Israelites, women, don't wear veils. But this is where the veil comes in when you have a marriage or a wedding, a wedding that goes on. That's what the veil is for. It gives the picture of this, of a chaste virgin. And what beautiful pictures. And so she's excited and he's excited, but I want you to see one thing. And this is very pointed. Look in verse 65. And this is the last word we read of the unnamed servant. And what is it? It is my master. The last thing the Spirit of God is ever going to deal with about is going to be, this is the Son of God. You get it? Now, he tells the Son everything that went on, but that's the last thing he ever tells Rebecca. And our faith will be sight. Her husband is right before her. And vice versa. And then it goes down and you're going to see not only the trust in his wonders, the glory of his wonders, the story of his wonders, the answer of his wonders, but you see the comfort of his wonders. Look in verse 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. See, This is what the Son does. If you allow Him to take you in the midst of death, He will bring that comforter. Whether it is the Spirit of God or He ushers you into the very presence of God the Son. You see what I'm saying? He is a wonder. If you're not saved here today, He has a plan for you. But if you are saved, He has a plan for you. He's taking care of it. It is for us to follow Him. He has sent before us. Let's don't get ahead of Him. Let's make sure we ask God for what He has for us. And He will take care of it. How do I know? Because He said He will. Abraham was sure of it. And look what happened. It all turned out fine. It turned out perfect. And in the end, the Son is comforted and the bride is presented. Are you saved? God has made a plan. His plan is Jesus Christ. Don't trust in yourself. You trust in Him. You have a story here that just seems absolutely impossible. But it is. But only God can make the impossible possible.